You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the It's Always Draft Season Podcast, part of the Packernet Podcast Network. Jake Schwenk here. I'm here, as always, with Mason Thompson. Mason, how are you doing on this fine Sunday?
Pretty decent. Just got back from Whitewater for 10 days. Kind of just glad to kind of be back and kind of relaxing a little bit.
Yeah, we've both been pretty busy. That's why you didn't get an episode last week, but it's okay. This is going to be a really good episode. If you haven't seen or listened to the first part of this, we did a 2018 NFL redraft. Now, that's going to keep going. We're going all the way through 2022, a five-year draft window. Quick rules, go back through it here. If you're picking the first round, right? Unfortunately, some teams don't have first round picks, Rams, that are kind of going to be screwed here. But what happens is we're going through with the order that was created on draft night in the first round. If you have a player, let's go back to 2018. We'll throw a little nugget out there if you haven't heard it yet. Say you're the Raiders and you draft Frank Ragnow, which happened. And Colton Miller doesn't get picked in the first round. You still have Colton Miller on your team now. We just can't go through all seven rounds of all these. That would be just an absolute hassle. I don't think you'd want to listen to all of that. So we kind of condensed it, kind of put that rule in. But I will say there have been already massive shifts in what team rosters look like. So if you haven't listened to 2018, go back, listen to that one. Should be the 13th of June, I believe. So go back, listen to that. Then you come back here and we'll start the 2019 NFL redraft, which we are going to do right now. I have the odds. Mason has the evens. So we'll hop right into it here. Cardinals, this was easy. They took Kyler Murray, obviously, in the 2019 NFL draft. I'm sticking with it. And so, I mean, they got J.C. Jackson in the previous draft that we did. So that's a good thing. The secondary is getting built, but there's no way you're passing on Kyler Murray here. This is no matter what you think, no matter how much you think he deserves with an extension, this is a quarterback who has the athleticism, arm talent, arm strength. He can do a lot of things. He can make things happen out of the pocket. I would like to see him be more in structure this coming season, but a Cliff Kingsbury offense that's very space operated and like just wants Kyler to be Kyler at times, that doesn't really happen. Doesn't matter though. Cardinals need him. You can't pass on a quarterback here. There will be teams, Bills, that will be looking for a quarterback if they fall. So this is a no-brainer. Make sure you keep that signal caller in house.
So kind of similar to the Cardinals, I stuck with the 49ers selection of Nick Bosa here. Similar to Arizona again, they took Denzel Ward in our last redraft. So secondary was set kind of there. Nick Bosa is just a dominant pass rusher. It was just an easy selection. Got to get after the pass rusher, the quarterback. If you're San Francisco, you're good at it. Without Nick Bosa, they probably wouldn't be as good. Not even close. So it's just sticking with Bosa here was the obvious decision.
Yeah, and they unfortunately lost Fred Warner in the yes. redraft. That hurts, but yeah, that like Mason said, that's a huge deal. They do have D Ford, but like without Nick Bosa, like Mason said, they're kind of a shell of themselves rushing the passer. The New York Jets here at three, they took Quinnen Williams, as many know, in the 2019 NFL draft at three. No one questioned that selection. I'm gonna not pick him here. By the way, the Jets did get Jair Alexander, unfortunately, for Packers fans in the 2018 draft. But 2019, we're going Jeffrey Simmons. I thought about receiver, and I thought receiver made a lot of sense. But I'm almost forward thinking to the point where, like, which quarterback am I going to get down the line? It's so hard not to, like, think, oh, well, I get to keep this guy, by the way, because nobody's going to draft him 2 years from now. Or I'm not going to, I'm just going to take the best player. We're going to operate out of, like, listen, we're back here at this point where the Jets are. Jeffrey Simmons, to me, as a prospect, honestly, I know a lot of people, this may sound revisionist, but I felt like he was right there with Quinnen Williams as a prospect. It was just, again, is the off-the-field stuff concerning enough where, like, he hasn't grown and matured from that incident? Like, that was the question. And he was coming off an ACL tear at the same time. Titans didn't care. They took him at 19, I believe, right? Yes, 19. He's been a stud. He's been the best defensive lineman from this class. Maybe not edge rush. I guess probably not group in with edge rushers, but he's been the best defensive tackle from the class. And the Jets get a guy who's honestly just a force. He can be a one-man wrecking crew at any point in the game.
So obviously the Raiders kind of did a Raiders thing here. Ooh. At number four with Clelin Ferrell. At number four, which was a surprise to everybody at the time. Obviously, we're not going to go on that route. Kind of maybe a surprise. This was kind of like a weird kind of decision for me anyways. It was obviously number four pick. There's a lot of talent still left on the board. I probably did something that Raiders fans are probably not going to like, considering what happens with the next pick. But I took A.J. Brown, because what is better than having Devontae Adams? Having Devontae Adams and A.J. Brown with Derek Carr as your quarterback. You've got Patrick Mahomes in your division still. We're keeping Russ in Denver, so you got to keep up with those two offenses. So you got Derek Carr, you got A.J. Brown, you got Devontae Adams, maybe Hunter Renfrow still, maybe Josh Jacobs still. You still got Darren Waller. So just a dominant offense right now for the Raiders in this redraft.
Yeah, that unit looks incredible. And obviously, Raiders fans who are tuning in, they still got two more picks. So we'll see how things shake out at the end of the first. But I love that. And I was kind of wondering if Mason was going to do that, or he's going to take the guy that I took here from Tampa Bay at five, just because, again, it was a great value for them and really kind of took some attention away from picking Clelin Ferrell at four. So Buccaneers took Devin White originally in the 2019 NFL draft. I couldn't get myself to go the direction. I know how important he was to the Super Bowl run. I get it. I don't know. I feel like he's been just the run defending, you know, type where it's just space coverage just really isn't there. So sticking to what we've done, I mean, the Buccaneers lost Vita Vea in the last redraft. Mason gave him Baker Mayfield. It felt like the defensive line in some aspect needed a boost. And I know, you know, you could look and be like, oh, Joe Tryon could be that guy. Tryon Shoyinka, he could be that guy this year, right? Like, you're not bringing back JPP. I'm taking Max Crosby here. I'm trying to push away all of what's to come in the next few redrafts we do. Max Crosby's been dominant. And I think you could maybe put Rashawn Gary into that mix potentially with him. And they both took a major leap in terms of their PFF grade. I think Crosby's had probably a better second and third, maybe not a better third season, but I think he's had a better second and rookie year than Gary has. I think him with Shaq Barrett, whatever else they're going to add to that defensive line, I'm sure they'll probably add more as we keep going through this redraft. But I think that's a huge deal for Todd Bowles to have a guy who could pin his ears back and get after the quarterback.
At number six, the Giants kind of did another weird selection during this night. Everyone kind of saw it coming a little bit, but Daniel Jones was the selection here at six. That's not going to happen here. There's too much talent left here at the top of the board to do that. I kind of went with maybe a questionable decision to some, but just knowing the player and how versatile he can be, Elkton Jenkins is a perfect fit here. New York has needed help along the offensive line forever. Even with they've got a new quarterback, next year they're going to have the crop of the tackle class again, maybe a different one they get. They're still going to need help on the interior because you still got Mark Golinski, but what about the other guard spot? So it's that offensive line needs help still, and I thought that getting Elkton Jenkins there was just a perfect fit because he can play literally anywhere. So,
yeah, the guard, we'll probably share the Google Doc that's got all the rosters and the updated stuff, but like the guard spot looks shaky. They have Feliciano at center right now. Like, obviously, they don't in this scenario have Andrew Thomas yet. So I like what Mason did building that line for Lamar Jackson, by the way, who is now in New York.
Yeah.
So that's a big deal. Thought maybe I think it would have made more, sense. I would have seen it make sense if AJ Brown was still available with how dominant he is over the middle of the field with Lamar, but you obviously took him with the Raiders pick. So that didn't really play out that way. But I like that a lot, Elkton Jenkins. Packers fans, turn away. These two picks in a row are just gutting the team in the trenches right now. The Jaguars took Josh Allen previously. That's been fine. Probably hasn't lived up to the potential of being that number seven overall pick. I'm going to take Rashawn Gary for them here. Man, it hurts to watch two Packers come off the top 10. And there's later too. Anyway,
yeah,
we're not talking about it. But Rashawn Gary, I mean, what a leap in year three for him. And that has put me to the point of where I totally see Gary now as a better player than Allen at this point in their careers. Just let that man speed to power off the edge for the Jaguars. They need that. They're still building up this unit. And with really, again, they may end up with Kalavon Chaisson We'll see how that pans out. It might not happen. Jordan Smith's the only one there currently that you can technically put on the roster at this point.
Yeah.
So that group needs a huge influx of talent, and Rashawn Gary gives them an immediate boost off the edge.
So I've learned that I'm kind of just the thorn in everyone's side with this, because I just like just throw some random stuff together when it doesn't really just seem like it. I kind of did that again here with Detroit. They took TJ Hockenson, one of the top young best tight ends in the league, except I didn't keep him there. So that was interesting. Looking at the roster, it's, again, positional value is kind of thrown out the window with the tight end. They don't need a receiver because they still have Amon-Ra on the scenario potentially. DJ Chark, you still got Quintus Cephas. You're going to probably maybe get another receiver somewhere down the line. So we're looking ahead to that. You could have taken one here because this was another loaded receiver class.
It was.
But their like one weakness that is just absolutely glaring is linebacker. So you could start Derek Barnes. You could start, who is the New Orleans kid that I'm just completely
Anzalone.
Anzalone. Big fan of Malcolm Rodriguez. But if you throw Devin White in there, it just perfect. Dan Campbell just absolutely loves defense and just hard-nosed football players. So I felt like Devin White was a perfect fit here for Detroit.
Yeah, I love that one. That's a really nice pick for them.
I don't like what you did next.
So the Bills at 9, they took Ed Oliver. It would make sense to just go right back to that, honestly.
Yes.
Mostly because, unfortunately for Bills fans in this new timeline, they don't have Josh Allen. So it would have made sense to just kind of be like, all right, we're going to build up the defensive line. We're going to build up everywhere. But like, listen, also, by the way, this is the best linebacking core in the world. They have Derwin James and Roquan Smith from last draft.
Yeah.
They still hung on to Tremaine Edmonds, by the way, because he didn't get picked. So like the defense feels good. And I know like taking Ed Oliver here makes a ton of sense. I just think they will have opportunities on the defensive line. I just said, screw it. Whenever the Bills have a chance to get a QB, they will get one. I'm just giving Stephon Diggs a running mate, DK Metcalf. And like, I just don't even care. Like, this is going to be insane. Like, Diggs can work everywhere. Probably going to still hang on to Gabriel Davis, most likely. I don't imagine he goes in the first round of a redraft. I guess it'll be the next one that we do in 2020. So I think you'll be able to hang on to him. But again, you get Metcalf, who's a souped up version of that. Like, he's been extremely productive, even though I wouldn't say he's been wide receiver one of that class to this point.
Yeah.
Some people would, and I respect that. I still think probably Brown, Samuel, McLaurin, potentially all of them are ahead of him. You can kind of nitpick about the order. I just think Metcalf gives the Bills another reason just be like, listen, we can throw beyond your quarters. We can throw beyond your two deep. Like safeties once we get that guy. So giving him Metcalf was just that's a pipe dream. I wish that Allen was still here, but Bills fans will find a way. We'll find a way.
Yeah. So Pittsburgh, this was the trade up for Devin Bush that happened during the real draft. Devin Bush has kind of just been a little lackluster per se. They added Miles Jack during this offseason just to kind of put an influx to the linebacking core. I'm gonna beat this drum till they do something about it. Their offensive line is horrid. I'm sorry.
They took
Isaiah Wynn.
Yes.
I gave them Isaiah Wynn last in the 2018 redraft. This time I'm taking a guard. Yes, I know a guard in the top 10. Whoa. But Chris Lindstrom, even though he's on Atlanta and the team's not great, is a very, very, very stout guard. One of the top in the league. You just don't hear about him because he's on Atlanta. So getting just throw him in, he's an immediate starter, and you got two building blocks potentially on that offensive line for Pittsburgh instead of what looks to be zero. So,
yeah, I like this. Quick question.
Correct.
Would you move James Daniels into center then, most likely in this scenario? Yeah. Are you going to keep Dotson or not? You're going to keep Dotson out there. Yes.
Yeah.
So you're going to have Daniels move in. Have Lindstrom out there. Kendrick Green, Mason Cole had some depth there. I like what that is up front. I thought you were going to take
a
certain receiver to make sure he stays in house. Didn't happen, but I get the idea. I get the idea there because I do think they're going to hang on to Pickett. Anyway, so I do. I really wanted this next guy to get to the Packers pick. The problem is I can't
Yeah, you can't take
the Bengals anybody else here at 11. They took Jonah Williams initially. I can't not give them him
this year.
I probably would have given them Elgton Jenkins if he was available. But again, Jonah Williams out at left tackle has hung there with little concern with the arm length. I mean, he's done a phenomenal job. Kind of goes under the radar, really, as kind of like everybody talks about it being such a weakness because right tackle and right guard was awful last year. But like Jonah Williams has been a stalwart over there. We're peeking ahead. Guys are going to get Burrow.
Yes.
They're picking first.
Yes.
They're getting Burrow. So let's protect Joe Burrow.
Yes.
In the future. Just make sure we have Jonah Williams there. Like, I like what they've done. The offensive line looks better if you look at the roster that I have set up, but they just don't have the left tackle. So you got to have him. Packers fans, I would have loved him to fall one more spot, but I couldn't in good conscience leave the Bengals without Williams. It just can't happen.
So last draft, I had the Packers, and I gave them DJ Moore. You finally got your receiver.
Love
that. Unfortunately, Rashawn Gary's gone. So this left me in kind of a difficult predicament here because a lot of people are gone now, including Jair. So corner was kind of on the board as well. I thought that was maybe a little bit too early.
Yeah, this class is.
Obviously, again, another receiver could have been nice.
Oh, Debo, man.
Even tight end.
Debo would have been nuts, man.
Yeah. Even tight end potentially since both Hockenson and Fant were there. But I went with, if I am the guy that you wanted in this draft, Brian Burke. Yes,
100%.
So it's not even really a consolation prize. It's a slight drop off because Brian Burns is still a dominant pass rusher. You're looking at the ceiling. I don't know what's going on there.
No, I'm just thinking.
You're thinking?
I'm just kind of thinking of like, how he plays off of I think he's so good.
Yeah.
I love it.
I just
go ahead. Sorry.
You got a pass rusher. If you lose a pass rusher, you got to get one. And so I thought like with Crosby, Bosa, and Gary gone, you got to take Brian Burns because that's a big drop off to even Josh Allen at that point.
Yeah.
And Montez Sweat. So yeah. I felt like that drop off was bigger than corner, which I didn't think many were going to go off in between, and then potentially receiver. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I could have done the I mean, they got the receiver. We got DJ Moore. If they get another one down the line, great. Like, I totally agree with not going receiver, even though it would have been insanely hilarious. I agree. Josh Allen and Montez Sweat, if you passed here on Brian Burns, probably doesn't get to the 21 selection.
No.
Because there's a certain team who took an edge rusher. We'll get to them. But like, yeah, I can't imagine even knowing what we know, what the Packers have done to sit and kind of sit idly by and let pass rushers get past. So I like that. Even a Kenny Clark running mate, I still don't think any of them are necessarily better than Burns at this point.
No.
How talented a pair of them are. So Packers fans, we're still good. We're okay.
We'll live.
We're okay.
We'll live.
We're okay. Miami Dolphins up at 13. So they took Christian Wilkins in the 2019 NFL draft in the first round. Been solid. They got Fred Warner, right? Yes, because I said that. They got Fred Warner in the last redraft we did. So that helps the defense. I'm going to continue helping the defense. I'm just going to switch defensive tackles here. Not that Wilkins hasn't been fine, but I think Quinnen Williams is starting to hit the stride a little bit for the Jets. I would like to add him hitting his stride right now to the Dolphins, pair him with probably going to still end up with Raekwon Davis. I don't imagine he goes in the first when we do the 2020 draft. So you're getting a good running pair there. And the front looks good. The secondary looks really good. Minus, I guess, one player. But, like, I like what the Dolphins are doing. I think offensive line's okay. I still don't think I'd reach for anybody here. Maybe Eric McCoy would have made sense at 13. Potentially a little early. I just like the idea of going upside here with Williams. At 13, that's what I went with.
So, Atlanta at 14, they originally took Chris Lindstrom. He is off the board here, unfortunately. So they're going to have to try to plug that guard spot somehow.
We'll figure it out.
Potentially. Probably not. Looking at Arthur Smith's offense, you have hopefully, probably, Is that going to be probably Kyle Pitts? Potentially.
What? Sorry.
Are they still going to have Kyle Pitts? That's the real question here. Because they might switch something around with another position. That's so too far. We're going too far.
I'm not going to lie to you. The Lions not getting Hockenson.
Yeah.
Might cause that to. I don't know. Wait. No, they didn't pick before then. Never mind.
They didn't. No.
Who are the first three? Oh, they're quarterback teams. No.
No.
I think they're going to be okay. I think they're going to be okay.
You got Kyle Pitts, who will most likely still be there, who's the glorified receiver playing tight end. You've got Cordarrelle Patterson, who's playing running back when he was a receiver. So why not get the opposite of Cordarrelle Patterson and get Deebo Samuel?
Love it.
You'll still have Calvin Ridley because nobody took him. You'll just have to sit out the year suspension. Yep. And when Calvin Ridley gets back, you've got Calvin Ridley and Deebo Samuel and Cordarrelle Patterson and probably Kyle Pitt.
Kyle Pitt, yeah.
And whoever's playing quarterback will be fine. You just got to maybe get the ball out quick.
Arthur Smith is loving this right now. Deebo and Cordarrelle? I mean, come on. Yeah, I mean, that's like an Arthur Smith dream right there.
Yeah.
I love that. Deebo in an Arthur Smith offense. I mean, he's going to be the A.J. Brown of that offense. And you might be able to sprinkle stuff in. I love that. I know Chris Lindstrom's a good player, but I actually kind of like this more.
Yeah.
There will be guards available for the Falcons in coming drafts. I'm sure of it. Maybe I should have done it at the back end of this. Anyway, not going to talk about it. Okay. Washington Commanders at 15. I mean, first off, they took Dwayne Haskins. May he rest in peace for sure. That's an awful tragedy for Dwayne Haskins. The Commanders cannot let Terry McLaurin go. They can't. So I went for it here. Wasn't sure he'd be available, honestly. But this was a no-brainer for me. Just because, like I said, they're probably going to get Dotson. They're probably going to. But like, if you look without Dotson, if you throw Dotson out, which we have to at this point, because we still aren't sure, right, that they're going to get him, but they probably will. Curtis Samuel, Cam Sims, De'Ami Brown, Dax Milne. You cannot leave this 2019 draft without the Alpha Chad wide receiver class and one of them being Terry McLaurin right here. It has to happen. The roster actually looks good. Like, this is like pretty legit across the board. I did think about a defensive tackle. They lost to Ron Payne in the last one, right? But I just think Terry McLaurin's been too good. Hopefully he plays this year, one, and hopefully Carson Wentz feeds him the ball, because he's extremely good. He's a wide receiver one. You can't let him go. So that's where we went here.
Absolutely not. I 100% agree with that. Again, I think I had Carolina last time as well, and it was just extremely difficult to deal with. Just because, like, you're going to have to wait on a quarterback. This class isn't good.
And your team's bad.
I'm not taking Daniel Jones or Gardner Minshew right here. Could have probably taken a receiver, most likely. But I thought it was maybe too early. I remember messaging you. I was like, I'm tempted to break your heart right now. Because I was...
When you said that, I was really concerned that you were going to take one of the guys I was considering for Green Bay at 21. But now that I understand when you said that, because this was one of my favorite players in this class.
That's not, it was mine as well. I had him as a first round player all the way through, but I was going to take one of your guys and I decided not to. But just like my thought is Jeremy Chinn may not make it back to you.
I think there's a really good chance he does not.
So, in my opinion, you get a more, how do I say it? Like, sassy. You get a more sassy Jeremy Chinn and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
This is the best comp of all time. Sassy Jeremy Chinn is, that's an all-timer right there for the pod. That's an all-timer quote. just
and anyways, like Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, one of my like favorite players in the league. You have to talk some sort of trash with the DB. You have to live up to it, and he has. He gets into receivers' heads all the time, as seen by people just receivers trying to throw punches at him. So I felt like this was a good kind of piece to use, since Jeremy Chinn likely won't make it back to you.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have the seventh pick in the next one that we do.
Fair.
Are they going to take him? I don't know. I mean,
they have other needs too.
Serious talent, yeah, and there are other needs. And let's be honest, have they gotten a tackle yet?
They still have Moten.
Yeah, they do, but you can't even guarantee yourself a Quando at this point.
No.
Like for 2022. So like there are four tackles
next
year. So they're probably going to end up with one. If we're going to try to project ahead for them, like it's a tough call. Mason was not put in a good spot having the Panthers again. Totally understand that. They took Deron Payne in the last one, by the way. I don't know if we mentioned that, but like
we did not.
I think they were at like 26 or something.
Yeah, it was like 26.
And it was like really
late. That's when they took DJ Moore.
Yeah, it was like really late. And so it was like, it was a tough, or 24th. And so it was tough for Mason to kind of find the right pick there. And this was not easy either. I like it because, again, as we talk about, like this offensive line class, yikes, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, especially a tackle.
Yeah. Ooh. I got to this point and I like looked at this and I was just like, outside of like receiver and like edge, this class was like super lackluster.
Yeah. I mean, you could have maybe gone Josh Allen, but like, I don't know. Like, you could really throw anyone in here. You could have gone receiver, like you said, if you wanted to. Maybe that was other than Gardner Johnson, made the most sense. There's just a lot of like, as we move into the second half of this draft, just kind of a lot of guys where kind of like they've been good. Maybe they're not good consistently. They're still moving up to make their leap. Like there's a lot of guys. One of them's like a center basically. So like, are you taking center at 16? I mean, you just signed Bradley Bozeman. So like that could have taken a tight end, but like, do you really need to take one? Like, I think this is a good pick for the secondary in general. So like, I liked it a lot, picking Gardner Johnson there. So that's it for the first half. We're going to take a short break for you guys, and we will be back with the Giants on the clock at 17.
We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
513 declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
All right, back here on the It's Always Draft Season podcast after a short break. Second half of the 2019 redraft here, and the Giants are back up. So you missed it. Obviously, they got Lamar Jackson in the 2018 redraft. Mason gave them Elgton Jenkins early at pick six. We're not going to take a quarterback here, obviously. But we do take Josh Allen. Because again, we don't know. Aziz Ojulari, Kayvon Thibodeau, will they be Giants? Maybe. But at this point, I thought, although there's a drop off in production and maybe performance, obviously through three seasons now, I still think Josh Allen can bring enough to this front for the Giants. I mean, they have Leonard Williams. Obviously, now they don't have Dexter Lawrence, probably. We'll see how the rest of the draft goes. But, like, I do think they need something off the edge. Josh Allen hopefully gives them that, and maybe the change of scenery is helpful.
The Minnesota Vikings are out at number 18. The original selection was Garrett Bradbury. As we've seen, that kind of hasn't worked out. They declined his fifth-year option over the last few weeks. So if you look at their roster now in our world that we've kind of created, they took Josh Sweat in the 2018 redraft. If you look at their cornerback position, though, it's rough. All they really have is Patrick Peterson, Harrison Hand, and Chris Boyd. So there has not been a cornerback taken off the board yet, if I am correct. If you do count C.J. Gardner-Johnson as a nickel, I get it. But coming off the board here is Sean Murphy Bunting, just a really underrated player. A lot of people didn't like the pick at the time for Tampa Bay in the second round. I remember them always taking stabs on day two at corner. Murphy Bunting, Jamel Dean, you may get to him a little bit later as well. Yep. All those guys. But Murphy Bunting's the pick here. He is their future number one corner in this scenario.
Yeah, no guarantees, obviously. We'll see about Booth. We'll see about even Dantzler, honestly. Dantzler's been one of the better corners, honestly, from 2020 class. So we'll see if that works itself out somehow. But at this point, that's really, yeah, like Mason said, that's all they had. I like that. I wondered if you were going to go McCoy. But I guess we'll TBD on what the Vikings are going to do at center in the future. They've got time. Titans at 19. This obviously was Jeffrey Simmons. He is well gone to this point. But that's all right. I feel like this is a decent consolation prize for Tennessee here. They get Ed Oliver at 19. Again, when he's asked to one gap and penetrate, he can do that. But he's often aligned in the two gap. He's good run defender. You know, he's not giving up ground at the line of scrimmage. This is kind of, I still think, a Vrabel guy that he would like, and you can align him, you know, even odd, however you want to do it. And I think he'll make an impact for this Tennessee front, like we've, again, kind of talked about with a lot of these teams, is they still got, they got some holes now. And there's a lot of questions at corner. There's a lot of questions at edge. We're just going to make sure that we've got somebody to pair with Danico Autry here and get Ed Oliver. I still think Ed Oliver has had quietly very good career so far. It's just, again, people are not going to see the sack numbers because it's just not what he's asked to do in Buffalo as much. But I like this for Tennessee. Decent consolation.
The Denver Broncos are next up. They still have Russell Wilson, but in our 2018 redo draft, we gave, I think it was New England, Cortland Sutton.
Yes.
So he's gone. Jerry Jeudy might be the pick. That's a long way for Jeudy. Might pass.
Yeah, we'll see.
So it's kind of a questionable thing here. But Russell Wilson really found a friend in Tyler Lockett a little bit. So why not give him something similar to Tyler Lockett, although they already have KJ Hamler as of right now. We're going to give them Hollywood Brown here at number 20.
Yeah, I like this idea. I do think now Arizona loses him. That's funny. and the Baltimore Ravens still have that pick. This is our world. And Baltimore is just taking dubs everywhere. And we'll get to it shortly. But I do like that. Patrick, I do think they'll be able to hang on to KJ Hamler. Can't imagine. We'll be taking him based on some of the receivers we'll probably see go in the first in that one. But I like the Patrick and Hollywood Brown pairing. I definitely do. I think it was a fantastic point about basically giving him Tyler Lockett. I do think Brown, maybe a little bit underrated at this point, even though, you know, he's he was a first round pick and a lot of expectations with that. I mean, he's one of the six guys where you go, yeah, I mean, wide receiver one B, maybe, if you're going to talk about him that way, but like, he's been good. The Packers are back on the clock here. This was originally Darnell Savage. Obviously, they've lost two cornerstones in Jenkins and Gary to this point. Mason got him back on track, get Brian Burns. I was tempted to go a lot of directions here. Obviously, you could just stick with the pick. You could stick with Darnell Savage. Makes sense. I think they can do a little bit better. And there are some better options. We'll probably get to them in the future drafts. I just think Aaron Rodgers, boy, are we loading him up with weapons. I just think that he could use a step up at tight end from Robert Tonyan, from Mercedes Lewis, from Josiah DeGuara. A lot of people wanted this. When the Packers had two first round picks, TJ Hockenson going right here to the Packers at 21. It just elevates a lot for you. This is exactly what you want. I mean, he gives you almost the blocking skill of Mercedes Lewis, basically, to this point. You've seen what he can do. He was mainly the inline guy at Iowa, and he's been that as well. But he's a field stretcher. He's got the athleticism to be a factor in both facets, and he's really starting to grow into that in Detroit. Let's just snag him from the division rival here and bring him to Green Bay and give Rodgers a really, really good middle of the field seam ball target.
So at 22, the Eagles came up and sniped Andre Dillard away from the Texans, which hasn't really been a snipe because Dillard is not the starter right now for Philadelphia. So that is not going to be a pick.
In our timeline, he is, unfortunately.
Yes. Because in our timeline, yes.
Dallas snagged Jordan Mailata, but yes, neither here nor there.
Anyways, looking at the Eagles roster, it was kind of tough to kind of like find a direction to go. I did see a weakness at guard. And when Eric McCoy was coming out, he was a guard, if I am correct. And then they moved him to center when they drafted Anders Pete, right?
When they signed him, yeah. Let me check. Because, yeah, I know.
Because they've been moving around on the interior there a ton.
Yes, they do. I'm going to his. Okay, yeah. So started 13 games for A&M, 11 at center, 2 at guard. So he's played both. So he's done both in the middle.
So look, because you already have two cornerstones at center because you got Peters and you got Juergens, most likely still.
Most likely, yeah.
And then you've got, I think it was, who did I take? So Eric McCoy is going to replace, who is the kid? I can't remember.
So, yeah, potentially Landon Dickerson not going to make it to them, potentially. We'll see.
Yeah, Jack Driscoll,
right. Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So we're going to go on that route here just because there was a lot of just like I could go maybe receiver, but a lot of them were already off the board. And I thought I could maybe wait for next year to maybe give them somewhat of a better receiver than they got.
Oh, yeah.
But
they're not getting Jefferson, unfortunately.
Yeah, no. But anyways, McCoy slides right in because Philadelphia just needs to have all the good offensive linemen, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't, and I in our doc, I do have them with Landon Dickerson. They took him at, like, I think 39th, if I want to say that, somewhere around there. If he gets drafted elsewhere, they still have Driscoll, now McCoy, like you drafted. So I think the Eagles are playing good safety net there. We'll see what they do at QB. But yeah, I like that for them. The Texans original pick Titus Howard, actually okay.
Not terrific.
Okay last season, not great before that. I decided to go elsewhere. This team needs good players. I think Dexter Lawrence should slide right in for you and really beef up a pretty underwhelming front in Houston at this point. I mean, you got Grenard who may or may not stick around. We'll see.
Yeah.
But Malik Collins, Ross Blacklock, Thomas Booker, Roy Lopez on the defensive line. Dexter Lawrence is a massive step up from any of those guys. This is the two gap. This is the eat up space guy up front that you're going to give opportunities to the edge rushers, give opportunities to linebackers, free them up coming downhill. Just the space eater that I think Houston would really like to have in the building. And we'll kind of talk about potentially Titus Howard at the end. But I like this. It's an upgrade. Just get good players if you're Houston.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you're picking late in some of these. So
at 24, the second of the three Raiders selections in this class, they ended up taking Josh Jacobs. While he has been stout for them, although it does not seem like the new regime thinks so, considering they declined his fifth-year option, we're going to go in a different direction here just because of what is on the board. If you look in the cornerback room, it was Trayvon Mullen, who's been good, might not be around. after this potentially. And then you got Anthony Averett and Nate Hobbs. So with Byron Murphy still on the board, I thought that was an excellent route to go. He has been the clear and favorite number one corner for Arizona, who's desperately needed to get him help on the opposite side of him. But obviously with the Raiders, you need to kind of hold up against now Derek Carr, who has both A.J. Brown and Davante Adams. And then you also have Patrick Mahomes in your division still. So you need some sort of corner duo, and now you've got at least one with Murphy. We'll see what happens with Mullen.
Yeah, I like this. Either way, I think Hobbs or Murphy, you know, either one of them's going to be the stalwart in the slot in this scenario. I like this, and I do think the Raiders needed help there for sure. A.J. Brown and Byron Murphy's a heck of a start. We'll see how it finishes. Ravens at 25. Yeah. So if you go back to Baltimore, so if you were listening to the 2018 one, obviously losing Lamar Jackson sucked. We got Saquon Barkley and we got Mark Andrews back for the Ravens. Yeah, we're more weapons for whoever the quarterback ends up being there. Deontay Johnson falling to 25. We're snatching him away from Pittsburgh. Oh boy. Yeah. I actually did not think this was going to ever have a chance of happening. Yeah. Ultimately, though, again, one of the guys who's been a wide receiver one, this is now your three-level threat, route running, elite separator type in Baltimore. You have him with Saquon and Mark Andrews. Find the quarterback, Baltimore, and we're gonna be chugging right along.
The Commanders' second selection here, they took Terry McLaurin, keeping him in-house at 15. The original selection here was Montez Sweat, who was in consideration for that Raiders pick at 24, just to kind of potentially pair him up with now Chandler Jones. But I went in a different direction, obviously, with Byron Murphy. So we're going to kind of keep that dominant front four, although now they don't have Daron Payne. Washington doesn't. But we're going to keep them with Montez Sweat. It's going to be – do they still have Chase Young? Should they? They do?
They probably – well, they might take QB – yeah. If not, they'll have Chase Young.
Yes.
But if they opt for.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll be interested.
We'll get to it, but we'll see. That's going to be. That's going to be a very, very tough difficult decision. Selection to make. We'll see how that goes. But
I just kind of kept it just because just to see if at this scenario, if you don't have Chase Young, you at least have Sweat there. So, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know where else. It's hard because I feel like Washington's actually just like solid everywhere. So it's hard to pinpoint a spot. And it's like, I mean, Montez Sweat, really the last of the rushers in the class where you go, yeah, I mean, been solid enough and worth the pick. So Raiders at 27. This was the Jonathan Abram selection. We're not making that selection. Spoiler alert. I thought about safety, and there were plenty still on the board. Thornhill, Rapp, Adderley, Hooker, Savage, like this is a pretty solid safety class across the board. I think it would make sense for them to go this direction. I just didn't. I do think the defensive line isn't great outside of Chandler Jones. I'm going to go with the guy who's, I think, really starting to find his stride, especially as a pass rushing defensive tackle, Draymond Jones. And this may be a little surprising, but I do think he is definitely finding it as a pass rusher. Raiders have a lot of good run stuffers in the house right now, and I would like to add some more juice up there. Especially because we're not getting one of the edge rushers. Just get some pass rush in any form. I'm going to go Draymond Jones. Stealing him from Denver as well, by the way. So
at 28, the Chargers originally selected Jerry Tillery. It was not a good selection, but for the first few years, he actually kind of put some pieces together a little bit last year.
Yeah.
Despite the poor run defense. He's still there. They did add, was it Chris Covington? No. It was Sebastian Joseph Day, wasn't it?
Joseph Day and then
Austin Johnson,
yeah.
So he's kind of third on that depth chart now, but there is a very, very, very big need still on the roster. With Derwin James now gone, you have a big hole at safety. Obviously, you could still get this year Adderley if he does fall out of this first round. And so we're going to take Darnell Savage here instead to keep those safeties together. Jake is not happy with that
Packers
selection.
Packers fans are pissed, man. Yeah. We have berated the cupboard in this episode.
It's rough.
We'll find a way.
Maybe.
We'll find a way.
Maybe.
We'll find a way.
Yes.
2022 is still there. There's some safeties, maybe. We'll see.
Yes.
We're okay. We're okay.
Couldn't really go anywhere else.
Yeah, I don't know where you would have gone. Maybe offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Were there any decent? I mean, they're decent ones, but like
nothing that really screams out at you.
I think Savage has been a good enough player to warrant it. I spoiler alert, they're gonna get Nasir Adderley as well. So yes. Adderley and Savage is solid enough on the back end for them. So Seahawks here at 29. They took LJ Collier. We're not making that pick, by the way, if anybody was wondering. I actually think the safety room is good enough where I didn't have to take any one of these guys. So I'm making sure that Noah Fant stays in Seattle and we have a piece in the passing game, especially at tight end. So just got him in the trade, in the Russell Wilson trade. Make sure they secure him here at 29. Again, gives you... Again, we've lost Metcalf, by the way. Don't forget about that. Metcalf is gone. So now it's Lockett and Eskridge and Melton and some of these guys. Noah Fant gives you a strong number two after Lockett in the passing game.
At 30, this is where the Giants, did they trade up for this? Yes, they did. Yes,
they did.
And so they selected DeAndre Baker. Obviously, that did not work out at all. We're going to stay at the same position, but we're going to take a different player in Rockison, who kind of came into his own this year in Indianapolis. And then he got traded to the Raiders for Yannick Ngakoue, so it's fine, I guess. But if you look at the Giants roster even right now, Bradbury's gone, and then you've got a bunch of – we went over this. You have, like, four or five slot guys. Who's going to play outside? With the Ascend, you at least have one now.
Yep.
So, and that's a glaring need already for the Giants, so they get at least one placeholder – and then probably Adoree Jackson. Then you have whoever is going to play slot there.
Yeah, that's a good one for them. Huge, obviously, now looking back at Byron Murphy for the Raiders. Huge to hang on to get somebody like that, because obviously Rockison's not going to be there in this new timeline. Atlanta Falcons at 31. They moved up to get Caleb McGarry. I could have gone offensive line here. There were some guys, Cody Ford, maybe Titus Howard would have actually potentially been decent here. I didn't do that only because I do think getting Grady Jarrett, a running mate of Christian Wilkins at 31, felt like a good enough call to make at this point. So offensive line's not great. We losing Lindstrom hurts. But drafts are coming for Atlanta to patch it together. Like I said, this is not a complete product at this point. There are 3 years of first round left. So I just think getting the running mate for Jarrett is long overdue. Packers fans know all about that. Getting Devontae Wyatt finally. Yeah. That was long overdue for Kenny Clark. So we're going to do that for Grady Jarrett here and get Christian Wilkins, beef it up in the middle. And you've got some guys now potentially on the edge, and we'll kind of get there as we go along. But I think Atlanta's building a solid defense.
At 32, the Patriots famously took N'Keal Harry, which has obviously not worked out. It's been one of the kind of worst, kind of lackluster selections in the first round in recent memory, just because everyone was hyping him up and everything. We're going to stick with the same position, though. The Raiders have A.J. Brown now.
This is evil, by the way.
This is evil.
This is evil.
So the Patriots always have this slot receiver that dominates. You got Wes Welker, Julian Edelman. Now, my buddy Jack, who's a Patriots fan, wanted this so desperately. He wanted Annie Isabella, and he wanted Hunter Renfrow. So we're going to insert Hunter Renfrow in here with Cortland Sutton, and then whoever may still be there. Kendrick Bourne's still going to be there, probably Tyquan Thornton. It actually looks decent in New England at their receiving core with Hunter Renfrow now in the mix.
Boy, I hate this so much. I hate it. I hate it. We're doing it again. You're giving them the most like advanced tool set of Wes Welker they've ever had. And they have Cortland Sutton as well. Oh, man.
At least they didn't get Kyle Phillips in the draft.
There you go. Yeah. No, this was good though. That's a good finish and a smart finish for them. Anything like stand out as players we didn't pick in the first? I think the only ones for me was like maybe Titus Howard, Cody Ford. I think we're two of them in the offensive line, all the safeties.
I mean,
I'm not, maybe Devin Bush,
I guess,
but he hasn't been good. So
I guess maybe Jacobs and Montgomery, even though they are running backs. So like Jacobs stays with the Raiders, Montgomery stays with the Bears. So that's fine. Yeah. But maybe even like Bobby Okereke, potentially he's been good for Indy.
Yeah.
But like I've thought about taking Dalton Reisner at 20 for Denver, but he didn't even go.
Yeah, they hung on to him. Tennessee hangs on to Nate Davis.
Yeah.
Dieter stays with Miami. Garrett Bradbury not going.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit of a shocker there. And again, the quarterback class is not good outside of Kyler Murray, who still has his own things to work through as a QB. So like Daniel Jones and Gardner Minshew, I feel like are the next two from this class where you look at it and you go, okay, maybe. And not to mention, by the way, huge for Philly to now hang on to Gardner Minshew. Weren't sure if he was going to go or not. Had to put him up there. They hang on to him there, which is huge. And they're at least they still have something at the position. The Giants obviously now have Daniel Jones to back up Lamar Jackson. So that's nice for them. The Chiefs hang on to Thornhill. The Rams hang on to Rapp. Obviously, the Chargers kept Adderley. The Titans keep Amani Hooker, which is, I think, a pretty big deal, actually. Who else? I mean, Packers fans, Josh Nyman. I put him on the board because I feel like he started games like from this class. The Bills hang on to Cody Ford might be like the most important just for them in general because of what they've lost to this point. But they've gained a heck of a lot. They just need the QB. Mace, is there any team where you look at and you go through these first two drafts maybe and you like, all right, who has won the most as we've gone through this to this point?
I would definitely say the Giants just because of Lamar, although they've lost Saquon. Yeah. But we gave them Elton Jenkins and we gave them a corner. It's easy to say who's lost, obviously.
Yeah, the losers are Buffalo, stark, man.
You've got Buffalo. Indy's lost two linemen. This is an interesting study of just like what could be right now. Yeah. So it's interesting.
I feel like the Raiders have won a lot here.
Yes.
The first draft, we went through the kind of scenario at the beginning. They held on to Colton Miller, didn't go, got ragged now in the process. Now get Byron Murphy, Draymond Jones, AJ Brown. They did lose Hunter Renfro, but I think you take Devontae Adams, AJ Brown all day.
Yeah.
Still have Waller. So like they're kind of loaded, honestly. And we'll see how it goes from here for them. But like, this isn't like Gruden and Mayock making first round picks anymore. Like they're going to get good players in the first round. Like that's just how it's going to go. I feel like, I mean, Green Bay's lost a ton, right?
Yes.
Jair, Gary, Jenkins, Savage, all gone. 2022 is going to be important. As much as crazy as it sounds, the Baltimore Ravens are still losers because of Lamar.
Yeah,
but they have gotten Saquon Barkley, Deontay Johnson, and they got Mark Andrews back. That's still pretty good considering, and that is exactly something that DaCosta would do and the Ravens organization would do in this kind of this new timeline we're creating.
So wild.
Oh, it's all over the place. The 2020 NFL draft is next. The Bengals are on the clock in that one. There could be some legit craziness, especially at quarterback.
At two
is where it's going to start. I do think everybody knows that Burrow's probably going to be that pick for the Bengals unless it's Herbert. Just saying.
Oh boy.
Hold on.
Then you throw everything in a wrench because then
everything's a wrench if we go Herbert instead of Burrow. Still going to be crazy at two. Akuda was the pick at three. I imagine that changes. We're getting ahead of ourselves, but there's a lot. There's going to be a lot. The Chargers and Dolphins going quarterback, right? The Packers are not going to have to take a quarterback. We'll try to somehow rebuild that.
For it.
Yeah, there's got to be something made up there. So we'll see. But there's a lot that's going to go on. like we said, we're going to try to, Mason and I, for those who are following, maybe we'll put the doc also in the Facebook group. Yes. If you guys want to view that there, just to look at where these teams are at. I will do a pass through as right after we're recording, just to make sure everything's up to date, probably add all the players in. And then we'll move to 2020 next week, where it's going to get, like we said, even crazier. But
yeah,
make sure you're following along with this. If you just make sure you catch up, stay with 2018, then 2019. This is fun. We've got three more of these just to see how things would turn out if everything kind of reset itself. Hope you enjoyed this. Mason, where can they follow you real quick?
Can follow me on Twitter at Thompson22Mason.
And you're doing work at
Primetime Sports. Going to be doing some little kind of draft stuff. Going to have an article out shortly about like day three picks that can be immediate starters in week one, and then an early kind of look at the next year's draft class like we did in a previous episode.
There you go. You can follow me at Jake NFL Draft, doing stuff at Rise and Draft and NFL Mocks, as well as YouTube. Got something this week on a kind of Bryce Young versus CJ Stroud piece that's going to be, I think, very interesting for those to read. But like I said, other than that, we'll share the Google Doc, try to keep things up to date for you guys. Hope you guys are enjoying this, because this has actually been really fun to kind of reset things. Everybody has the redrafts, right? Like we said, everybody does those in the offseason. Yeah. We're trying to spice it up a little bit and make it a little different for you guys. But stay locked here with It's Always Draft Season. I'm sure once kind of this is done, we'll start really getting into the summer scouting stuff and really hit the meat of this 2023 class, because it's got some star power. But yes, we will catch you guys next Monday with the 2020 NFL Redraft. And until then, enjoy your week.